And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back, hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the very busy San Diego Landings. See the Searcher, the Islander all unloaded, the Tomahawk unloading. I mean, lots of stuff going on right now. lots of fish being unloaded now.
I've been texting with the boys this morning. They said it's just a crazy morning down there.
Yeah.
So much big fish coming in, so many trips going in and heading back out. It's just one of those electric mornings
right
of the landing.
Now. Biting. Hey, Yusuf Cherney from Cutwater Spirits here, along with John Ireland from Rancho Leonero in Baja Seascape. Our phones are packing up, and they want to talk to you guys, and we have a great number of texts, too.
Well, you're not kidding. It's been a really busy morning here, and if you want to join us in that second hour, just like Pete said, give us a call. Phones are all packed up, but there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to get through in the second hour. That's 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Or send us a text. That text the show option only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download. Make sure you include your contact info, too, when you do send us that text, because somebody's getting a killer prize at the end of the show today, and that's a $300 gift certificate to CostaDelMar.com. Somebody's going to get themselves a brand new pair of sunglasses. Whatever you want, you got $300 to spend. Whether you spend it all on glasses or you get some killer swag, they've got nice performance shirts, coolers, all kinds of great stuff from Costa.
And I'll bet with this coming week is the big ICAST show in Orlando, Florida, the big trade show where everybody introduces new products.
Right.
I'll bet Costa has a whole bunch of new products they're going to introduce.
They always do, man. Those guys are pretty dialed in.
And stuff like that. I got to tell you, ever since Bob House said that Steve Lasley loves the green mirror. I've been using the green mirror like when I was in Alaska last week. He's like, I love the green mirror.
Okay.
Green mirror is now my new style.
You're a convert.
Yeah, the green mirror. You can see, I mean, the highlights that you get off of that Costa green mirror, amazing. I mean, it just brightens everything up, but it's still dark enough to really use in sunshine.
That's great.
So
I'm still a silver mirror guy.
Yeah, that's
the day in, day out. That's my favorite lens. Silver mirror, but I'm with you. Green mirror, a great one.
But here would be an interesting choice to call for you.
Yeah.
Have a green mirror and have a silver mirror next to each other and put one on other. The green mirror just brightens everything that much more. It's still about as dark as the silver
mirror. It's like an amber base.
Yeah.
As opposed to a gray
base.
Like
when you're out offshore, it brightens the kelp patties.
Sure.
The foamers.
Color contrast is always better with that amber based lens.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, phones are packed. Texts are rolling through. Let's jump into it.
You got it, man. We had a great text. This one is, hi, John. This is Steve Webster. My buddies and I are coming down on the 21st through the 24th to the ranch. We're doing CBX for the first time. Do you feel that that's the best way to go? Also, in your opinion, because I know you fly CBX a lot, what time should we appropriately get there for a 10 o'clock flight?
Good question. A couple hours, only 2 hours. Get there 2 hours before the flight leaves and you're in good shape. They've automated pretty much everything so that your visa and all that is real easy. Just put your passport. They have a little computer and it prints out your visa and you're ready to go. It's not a long walk to get over there. It's probably to get on the Mexican side and get through customs and everything, no more than 10 or 15 minutes. They've done a really, really good job with CBX, speeding things up, streamlining everything. It really works well. And then coming back out, going across the bridge and then in the United States there, gosh, now the immigration, U.S. immigration there's got to be 12 booths.
Wow.
I mean, it's stunning how many there are. So you get in and out really quick. I highly recommend it, and normally half, a third of what it would cost you to fly Alaska. Yeah. No offense,
a lot less. I mean, like a third or even less than a third.
Yeah, sometimes a lot less.
I think the only thing to watch out for is sometimes the parking gets a little dicey down there. So Ubering or Lyft down there might be the call.
Or reserve parking.
Absolutely. I never park down there.
Yeah, reserve parking. When I go, I reserve parking ahead of time. It costs you a few bucks more, but you know you're going to generally get into the parking spot. I mean, the problem is when you have a reservation, sometimes like, oh, the parking lot's full. Yeah, but they also have when the timing's right, they have valet too,
right,
which is not that much more than just a regular parking spot.
Somebody turned us on to a tip when we were doing our El Salto trip, and that was on baggage too. You know, you can buy a lot of different baggage options when you're going down there. El Salto, we were having. I don't like to admit this. We were all the most tackle junkie idiots going down there. It took way more than we needed.
No, big surprise.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, it was lesser expensive to buy a heavy bag option than it was to bring a second bag. And I didn't know that was even an option. Like, I was struggling so hard. Like, well, what am I going to take out so that I can keep this bag under 55 pounds? And it was like an extra $30. You could have, you know, your bag weigh up to 90 pounds.
Wow.
So if you're, you know, struggling
on
what thing to take out, it was not a big expense to just not worry about. And it was lesser expensive than hauling a second bag out.
It's a lot cheaper to do it when you're making your booking.
Big time.
Than it is letting them catch you down at the airport. Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
Another recommendation. Oh, go ahead.
No, if you haven't been there to CBX in the last year or so, the changes, like John was saying, was it's so different in a year.
Totally.
That every time I go through, I don't recognize it. You know,
it's much more streamlined.
Much more automated, much more open, and way nicer.
Whereas in the past, if you brought a rod tube or an oversized bag, you'd have to go into the general Tijuana airport. You don't have to do that anymore. You can stay in the CBX and do that check-in right there. The other recommendation to speed things along, too, is you can actually print your FMM online before you go.
So
they have those computers down at the airport, but sometimes there's a little bit of a line there and stuff like that. You can actually go just search Mexico Immigration and print it and fill it out right on your computer.
They really streamline that as well.
Yeah.
They really have.
Yeah, they even do it for you, too.
Yeah, and when you're going down like in Alaska, you don't even fill one out. You know, the airline pays your tourist fee, and there's literally no paperwork now.
Yeah, pretty easy.
They've made it much easier. That Cabo airport is something. It's huge. They're just constantly building and adding on to it. It's not unusual to have 15 airliners in there at one time, loading and unloading. And two nonstops from New York. I mean, it just goes on.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I was there before the airport was there.
Sure.
So every time I go in there, it just blows me away.
Yeah. But just the convenience to get down to the East Cape, you know, when I go down there, I'm running into everybody. Everyone that's there is from Southern California.
Yeah.
You know, it's an hour 45 flight. It's 45 minutes from the airport to the ranch. And John was just scribbling this note on the piece of paper we were laughing about. You know, the report being 68 degree water here, you know, raving about that temperature, which I get. Warp's good for the blue
fan. We're happy at 68.
Just convert the numbers.
But, he's at 86 down at Grand. So as far as being able to jump off the boat and go for a little swim, it's a lot nicer.
I'd much rather go swimming down there.
Great snorkeling. Every day I go out snorkeling.
East Cape is like the closest place you can go to be in a completely different world. You know, I mean, the pace and everything of life is so different down there. And, you know, Yusef, you nailed it. It's an hour and 45-minute flight. It's so easy to get to, but it's such a different deal.
And there's still time to go to the ranch. Through November, you still have openings?
Absolutely. December 1st for now. And we're booking up. October's a real nice month.
Yeah, it's a great month.
Fishing's real good.
And the diving at Puma, if you're a diver, October's prime.
Yeah, good month. All the summer months really are good.
Yeah.
And Pomo has been more fish every year down in Pomo. It's unreal how many fish. You know, a lot of our boats go down to the park line and just, you know, just outside the park, the fish come out of the park and they just, it's been good for the fishing as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things you could do at the ranch too, if you have guests that aren't going fishing, and just straight out front of the hotel is some world-class snorkeling. And, you know, and the beaches down there, You know, I've taken trips to Hawaii where you're out at 7 in the morning staking your towel in the sand. You need the square footage. At the ranch, you got 2 miles of beach in either direction with no one there.
Yeah.
So it's, and it's, you know, gorgeous sand beach. It's not, you know.
And safe, too. Safe. It's not like you don't have to risk your life going in the water down
there.
It's
like a lake in front most of the time. It really is. Yeah. It's safe, especially compared to the other side.
Right.
The Pacific side is dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't want to send the family or the kids down there. They're, you know, you could lose them easily. And that's a big difference between the Cabo. We're in Cabo County, don't get me wrong, but on the Pacific side versus the lee side on the Cortez side, big, big difference.
Big
much,
difference.
Much safer. Water's much more usable.
Hey, Dan, calling us from Catalina Island, wants to know what's going to happen to the property after the ranch closes.
Well, there's a good question. We have there's a one development group out of Monterey, and they're the main developers of Punta Mita. And they're a big, big outfit. And they do real, real quality stuff. Their intention is, as far as I understand it, is they're going to build 160 residential units on the north property. And the hotel that they build, I don't know how much of my hotel they're going to keep or if they're going to tear it all down. That's just kind of up in the air. They're not telling me. They don't want to break my heart. But it's going to be 50-room hotel. So it's going to be much smaller, boutique size. They're going to have a real high-end spa, two or three restaurants. But it'll mainly in support of their residential development. And these guys, what these guys build, I've been over and seen their stuff, makes the Four Seasons look not poor, but they're a couple steps over the Four Seasons.
Wow.
No, it's unreal.
Wow.
These guys do. So it's going to be very, very nice, and it's going to be very, very expensive, too.
Yeah. Very different than what it is today.
Oh, yeah.
So take advantage of it now while you can.
Well, you know, honestly, just go a little further. I couldn't charge the prices I'm charging now next year just because of what's going on
around
me. The cost of construction is 4 or 5 times what it used to be 5 years ago. Employees now, there's a huge drain on employees. We're having a tough time with employees because they're all employed over at these large projects and getting paid. You know, the
big bucks.
Price of employees have gone through the everything. Cost of food, literally everything has gone up. So I couldn't have played it. I couldn't have kept the same pricing if I had chosen to stay for another year. It's changing down there.
When you were telling the story, one of the last times you were on, that you were charging $140 for a room, and a couple miles down the beach, it was $2,400 for a room.
Oh,
it was
stunning.
Yeah.
They have rooms for $40,000 a night.
And the funny thing is they, at the expensive spot down the way, they run their people in a little boat up to John's to go
snorkeling.
Because, you know, I think, how much are they paying?
It's a fancy little boat.
And, because the beach area that they have is muddy water.
Yeah,
so.
You can walk right down the steps at the ranch, and it's all yours, you know, and everything's so expensive. I'll bet you they're paying $400 or $500 a piece. For a snorkeling tour to the ranch.
And meanwhile, I'm looking over at Bill DeLue, who's helped John build the ranch. He's in the studio, and he's sitting here going, watching this place that you guys were shuffling stuff down in in a converted trailer, bringing stuff down to Mexico, and now it's turning into the Cabo Riviera, is what they're calling it. You know,
Bill and I used to have the RV smuggler. What was that?
Smuggle buggy.
28-foot, 32-foot RV. We took the whole rear end of it off, back up, and made a ramp and turned it into a cargo van. Right, had it all. And it was a smuggle buggy. I don't know how many runs Bill made.
Oh, so you're admitting all this now. Live radio.
Statue of Limitations.
Oh, that was Statue of Limitations. That was years ago.
they're not used to the smuggle going that direction.
Now, we should clarify that you're not smuggling illegal cargo. What you're doing is just trying to bypass paying the duty into Mexico.
Well,
I think
it was more just getting stuff down
just
there.
Just being able to get it.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Refrigerator, paneling, and
building material.
We brought a lot of stuff down. We had well over 20 loads. We loaded it. Bill finally had to abandon it at customs and bail. So it's still down there somewhere.
Hey, let's jump into the phone.
That's probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Eric. He's calling us from Valley Center. What's up, Eric? Thanks for keeping us rolling here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, guys. Great show as usual.
Thanks, Eric.
This question is for you, Seth. I don't know, when you're cooking your agaves out in the big pots in your yard or whatever you do, what kind of wood do you use? Any special kind of wood?
It's usually what they have locally. So, you know, it's going to be mostly oak. If they have some mesquite, they might throw that in there too. But it's essentially going to be what is most locally available. And in Durango, you know, that's going to be oak, mesquite. But primarily, if you use too much mesquite, you get too much of a smoke, acrid smoke character. So in barbecue, you know, when you're making barbecue down in Texas, then that's good for that. But with agave, you know, you want subtle hints of smoke versus that kind of overpowering acrid smoke. And, you know, it was funny because I was asking the mezcalero who's cooking the agave down with us in Durango, and, you know, you smell this burning oak that's heating up the volcanic oven. And once the wood dies out, you basically are loading the agave into the heated rock, and that's what's, you know, then with
so
the earth
the,
over the top.
It's the rock that's hot that cooks it.
Right. It's almost like the way they cook, like, pig in, mm-hmm. in Hawaii, you know, in those pit ovens. I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I'm curious, why does some mezcal taste like a burnt tire? And he said, burnt tire. And I'm like, yes, burnt tire. And he goes, no, it's burnt tire. And I'm like, are you actually saying they use a tire? And he goes, yeah, in places, you know, that don't have the local wood like we have in Durango, they'll put anything to start the fire. So he was basically kind of saying, yeah, of
That's
course we
funny.
Don't do that here because yeah. we've got the access to the wood because we're high up in the hills of Durango. But down in other places, which he wouldn't name, he said anything they find, you know.
To
so,
eat the rocks.
So I've actually had some of those mezcals, and it's surprising. I mean that
a hint of burnt tire.
Whatever you're starting this fire is going to carry through.
Yeah, really.
So you really do want to have, you know, nice raw materials, so to speak,
that's
going
funny.
To this. And that's one of the things, you know, that I think makes for the award-winning spirit that we're making. And I think the judges that are at these international competitions are tasting our stuff and realizing that it's a very natural flavor. It's not, there's no additives. You know, these flavors are coming from the wood. They're coming from the Ciniso agave. And it's not these, you know, other aspects that are, you know, tainting the flavor of the
yeah
plant.
and you make three different mezcals.
Yeah, so right now we have the Joven, which is what we also refer to as Blanco. And then that's the unaged mezcal. We also have the Reposado, which is minimum 2 months, but we're going about 6 to 8 usually in the wood, and that's also oak that we're shipping down from Cutwater. And then we do the añejo, which is a minimum of 1 year, and we should have some extra añejo, which is 3 years, coming
Ooh.
Soon, and that's both in tequila and mezcal as well.
And mezcal, wow, that sounds great. And that's all available at local retailers, Cutwater.
Local retailers, you can stop by Cutwater.
You sell it. Yeah. You retail it right at the shop.
We have a full retail store right at Cutwater. Unfortunately, the laws have changed since COVID, so they're back to being limited as far as the bottles. You can't walk out with 12 bottles, but you can certainly come in and grab a bottle or so.
Okay.
We also, like I said, we have the full restaurant there over in the Miramar area, right
yeah.
by the pyramid. So you can come in. We do lunch and dinner, and you know, grab a burger or you
Good
know,
food.
And a little taster. We also have a full bar that's not only pouring the canned cocktails, but if you're going to go to Cutwater, have one of our bartenders make one of the signature cocktails. We've got just an amazing quality bar program coming out, and we've been making just fantastic cocktails for years. And we do seasonal varietals on the cocktail and as well as on the menu, the food pairings and all that stuff.
Wow.
And you can get flights of whiskey, tequila, you know, whatever spirits we're making, you can do flights of those. But, you know, some of the signature ones, the Dragon's Breath is probably our number one selling cocktail with dragon fruit. And we do some mezcal cocktails as well that are, you know, off the charts. So
Wow, that's cool. And it's such a, if you've never been to it, it's an industrial area, basically.
Yeah,
a lot
cool.
of warehouses and stuff. And then all of a sudden you come to this Cutwater place and you go inside this beautiful restaurant and you see the distillery right outside as you walk in, right?
Right. We've got that 35-foot column right out front that's most running almost every day. So if you look at that bottom sight glass, you'll usually see some rum washed gurgling around in there, and that's running the distillery, and we're running about a gallon and a half a minute of rum off of there at about 160 proof. So
wow,
yeah, and that area is even though it is industrial, it's known as Biramar, because
Biramar.
Instead of Miramar because of all the breweries. We've got Fall Brewing right down the street. We've got Ballast Point right around the corner. You've got a few other distilleries, Malahat. You've got Seven Caves. You've got you know, a host of other AleSmith, just, I mean, all almost within walking distance.
A lot of the big players.
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, it's worth getting a little bus tour and heading over there and doing the full experience. It used to be you could only get beer on these tours. Now you could do a combo distillery brewery trip and also get good food in the mix.
And most of these guys were your students at school, right?
There was a few that were, you know, taking the classes at UCSD. I think my biggest success story so far is Joaquin Orendain Lopez, who's opened up Fortuna down in Guadalajara. He's won the best small brewery in Mexico, I think, several years in a row. And he was one of our first cohorts back about 8 years ago. And he was actually the one that introduced me to the family of Orendain, which is his family, and started the whole road down the tequila-making process.
Wow. Are you still teaching at all?
We just ended the program. It had about an 8 year run, and it's just approaching the end there. So,
that's cool.
But a good run. I've been teaching at UCSD since I was going to school at UCSD, and that was 30 some odd years ago. So I was doing homebrew classes there. That's where it all started, and then gradually evolved into the UCSD Extension Brewing program, and that ran its course, and now we're moving on. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Good run.
So Scott in Encinitas, along the same line, he says he's a huge Cutwater fan, and he's curious how you became involved with Cutwater. We knew, we talked earlier a little bit about that, how you, of course, started Ballast Point, and then sold Ballast Point and then started Cutwater. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, so Jack White started Home Brew Mart back in the day. He's a local Point Loma guy, and he was going to school and decided to come out and open up the second homebrew shop in San Diego called Home Brew Mart. And I came in about a week after he opened, and I swore I wasn't going to look for a job. I was heading off to go to law school after graduating from UCSD. And ended up asking for a job while I was there, and got hired, and I was the first employee of Home Brew Mart, other than Jack, who was the owner.
No kidding.
And gradually worked my way up into the master brewer role there. And then after 23 years, Jack sold the business. And luckily, Cutwater was like a bar of soap. The Constellation Brands was grabbing at everything we owned, and that one just slid out of their hands, and lucky for me, because I had more ownership in that project. So we were able to just rebrand Ballast Point Spirits to Cutwater Spirits. We already had the building. We already had all the equipment on order. We just needed to slap a new sign on the building. And
You sold Ballast Point?
Yeah, it was actually right at the same time.
Same time.
As Ballast Point was selling, we negotiated to have the Spirits department of the brand removed from the sale. So they bought all the restaurants, the homebrew shop, and the big breweries, but the spirit component was removed. They retained the name, but so that's why we had to change to Cutwater. And if you know, just to give you some background on the word Cutwater, it's the bow of a ship as it's plowing through the water is known as a Cutwater. The bird is actually, our logo is a bird that swoops down and picks up bait off the surface. That's a Cutwater. And then obviously we make spirits very high proof off the stills, so we have to cut them with water. So it's kind of a triple meaning there. So I went from doing these products at Ballast Point, and we just transitioned, and I said it was kind of like somebody handing you a Ferrari with no tires. I mean, we already had all the components. We just needed to slap tires on it. And we were off to the races and making great spirits. And I think we're closing on 3,000 awards now for all the brands,
wow.
which were the highest. We have the spirit company with the most awards out of anybody, I think, in the nation. So, you know, just a world-class set of people making our products. We're making them in-house in San Diego. People can come and do tours, and it's just, you know, just an amazing place for, you know, and have a spiritual home in San Diego.
Homegrown.
Yeah.
You guys were making the spirits in the beginning. Did you foresee doing the canned cocktail thing from the very beginning when you guys started running Cutwater, or did that just come later?
Yeah, no, we were actually making the spirits. We were making gin and rum primarily and working on some whiskey, and it was never the intention to make cans. And one day I was we had a canning line that was no longer needed because we got a bigger one at Ballast Point, and it was sitting next to the distillery. And every day I'd go to work and look at it and go, why aren't we putting, like, gin and tonic and Bloody Mary in these things, you know? Because I'd go to my friends with a bag of Bloody Mary fixings, and I'd have Worcestershire and, you know, horseradish,
right.
all the stuff, and I'd leave their house, and I'm like, I'll just keep it. And then I realized it cost me $100, you know.
So we
made a non-alcoholic Bloody Mary mix in a bottle that we could, you know, take to friends' house. Then we evolved into the cans. But that canning line just sitting there, it clicked, and then some of our folks that worked with us as well had traveled to Australia, and they came back, and I'm like, we should do canned cocktails, and they were like, I saw them in Australia. So it clicked for the upper management team to get behind what I was already, you know, going through. And so we started running them on this little line, and kind of the rest is history. And that was probably like close to 9 years ago. So as far as the canned cocktail craze that's happening now, just in general, I mean, we were on this thing nine, 10 years ago. Well, there was other predecessors, but they weren't great. I think we were the first ones to kind of come at it with some classic drinks. And
saying they aren't great is being very polite.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's find out what's going on down in the fishing grounds.
You got it, man. It's time for that fishdope.com report with the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today, that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, and the pokey kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128, and we've got them standing by. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Unbelievable what's going on right now. It is absolutely pouring down rain here, John. We have a different weather than you guys have over there on the east side, but right here in Cabo, it's raining as hard as it can possibly rain. It is unbelievable. We're catching the tail end of that hurricane that's pushing more of that yellowfin up into Southern California right now. So it is pouring down rain here right now. But as far as what's going on in Southern California, 4 months ago, I was telling all my members, I predicted that right after they light off the fireworks, the whole world's going to change, and it did. It is absolutely incredible. We already know that there's some tuna, and we'll talk about that at the end of this, but that barracuda that we haven't seen in a very, very long time is here. It's biting. It's big fish. It's 6 to 8 pound fish. It's pretty much what got the sport fishing industry going in Southern California back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. The barracuda was the fish. I don't know where or how the disconnect happened, but some people don't like them, but us old timers, we love barracuda fishing on the surface iron, on the yo-yo iron. It's a bitchin' fish, and it is full speed, Huntington Flats up into the horseshoe area. Outside of that, there's some more fish moving into Santa Monica Bay. And with it is sand bass, calico bass, yellowtail, all biting on the coast. It's pretty fun fishing right now. It's absolutely unbelievable style fishing right now. The private boaters are having a ball going out there. It's a big spread of fish. It's not a little tight area. There's fish spread out for 5 or 6 miles up there. So nobody's got to pile up on top of each other. It's pretty spectacular. I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know if you can tell in my voice, but this is a bitchin' fishery that we haven't seen in an awful long time. So that is really, really cool for Southern California. Then Catalina, the fishing over there is insane right now. Calico bass fishing, they are in the spawn mode. It is full speed at any spot with a little bit of condition. San Clemente Island, there's lots of yellowtail over there, but they're kind of leaving that alone because bluefin and yellowfin is Yesterday, as close as 5 miles from Dana Point, we had private boaters catching yellowfin and bluefin 5 miles out of Dana Point Harbor. That fish stretches all the way down to the Mexican border and all the way up to San Francisco. So where do you go? You just kind of throw a dart out there and go, because that tuna, there's so much tuna right now in California. It's mind-bending, the amount of tuna in Southern California. And like I try to tell my members, I can't tell you exactly where to go, because yesterday it was full speed in front of Dana Point Harbor. The day before that, it was full speed at the 181, 182. I was talking to Tim Ekstrom. He said it was really good fishing outside of Clemente. I talked to one of my members. He's up in San Francisco. It was really good fishing outside the Farallon Islands. So you just got to go. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get any better.
Yeah, that's for sure. Fishdope.com. Danny and the boys have been doing a great job of keeping you abreast of things like that chlorophyll line. That's where that stuff's stacked on that chlorophyll line. And they have those charts to tell you exactly where to go at fishdope.com. All included in the price. And you get $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Well, I'm just watching Kelly. She's outside rolling all the windows up on the car right now. It's funny. you can check me out at Your Saltwater Guide. I'm everywhere on every social media platform. And then my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. And I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
Better get a towel to dry her off when she comes in. You're in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, all right,
Dave.
You guys.
We'll talk
thanks.
To you next week.
See you, Dave.
All right.
Bye.
Appreciate that very much. Hey, phones are packed up. They want to talk to these guys.
Man, they are. How about next up, we talk to Sean. He's calling us from Lomita this morning. Hi, Sean. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. I was introduced to the East Cape back in 85, my senior year, and we started going to the Buena Vista Beach Resort and had some great experiences there. I've been all four seasons, and believe it or not, my best days of marlin fishing were in January one year, where I got 7 fish one morning and 5 fish the next morning, along with like a 45-pound Dorado. So my question is for John, what seasons do you have any – did I maybe get those fish because it was January and there weren't as many boats out there? And the other question is El Nino. How does El Nino affect the East Cape?
Well, let's go January 1st. Their fish are out there year-round, and the water temp never goes much below 70 degrees. So weather permitting, the fish are around. I've had some of my best tuna fishing right around Christmas. There's a couple of years in a row, yeah, where I just crushed the tuna. And they're under the porpoise and real, real close. And so the fish are around. And for us, it's just a weather-related deal. If weather permitting, and you can get out in the water, they're out there, and it does help. Less fishing pressure, there's not hardly anyone out there, so when the fishing is good and you're out there solo with them, you're gonna do well. El Nino, that's a good question. The water's real warm right now, 86 degrees, which is about 4 or 5 degrees warmer than normal for this time of year, so that's impacting us. It's helping the fishing, you know, but we're keeping our eye on it, because all the water throughout the Pacific and the Atlantic, for that matter, is much warmer than normal. And certainly in the Sea of Cortez, that holds too. It's 86, and I expect it to bump up against 90 before we're done.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming right, including more of your phone calls. If you want to get through, 213-432-1090. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it, fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. It's been a busy morning on the phones. Still plenty of time to get through. 213-432-1090. Keep those texts coming on the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Oh, boy. Lots of texts, lots of calls. Thank you for a great show and really, really fun having Yusuf and John together
this
here.
Is great.
Talking all kinds of stuff. This weekend's kind of been a different weekend, you know, talking spirits and talking insurance yesterday and talking Rancho Leonero. It's kind of a variety weekend, along with talking tuna and Eastcape and Baja and the whole thing. So a lot of good stuff. Hey, right now we have the man, Conway Bowman, on the line. Good morning, Conway.
Hey, Conway.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Now, are you fishing today?
No, actually, today I've got my day off. I'm actually sitting here at Dana Landing looking out at the bay. But, no, I've been out quite a bit the last few weeks, and it's been pretty good. Yeah.
Are the sharks biting?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and some really big ones, too. I mean, they seem to be getting bigger every year. And we had one yesterday that was probably, oh, I don't know, 300-400 pounds. So
it was good
fishing. Yeah,
all on
great.
The fly and all catch and release, right?
That's it. That's all we do, yep. And it's
that's
really
so cool.
It's a very unique fishery, and people really love it. They come in from all over the world to do it.
Wow, that's cool. And you are the guy that gets them, too, I know, for sure. And you operate right there out of Dana Landing.
Right at Dana Landing, yep. We're right here. Been here for, I think, probably 20 years. So it's a great, yeah, Steve and John, they're great. The landing is a great place to meet clients. It's awesome. Really good stuff.
Well, you are involved in a thing called Cast for Hope. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Cast Hope is a fishing mentoring program. We take inner city kids and we teach them how to fish. It's focused on fly fishing, but also we teach, you know, conventional fishing, but also we bring in other components like, you know, service, science, and just getting kids out in nature. And it's really been a great program. I've been involved in this for 3 years, and it's really fulfilling to help kids out and, you know, and get them out in nature. All the stuff that I did as a kid, with my father, it's great to have these kids, participate in nature. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great. And kids that probably have never seen the ocean before or been out on the water, right?
No, these kids really haven't been out of, you know, a five-block radius of their neighborhoods, basically. They've never really been out in nature. So it's really cool to pull them into that environment and it really changes their life. And it really is great to see that and how they just, you know, how it really changes their life. So it's really great. It's very rewarding. And, you know, we're just helping. And I always say this, we help, you know, we help kids one cast at a time. You know, we just get them out there. And, you know, fishing is the key that opens the door to greater opportunities for these kids. So, and it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. So you're having a big fundraiser coming up here in August, right?
We are. Yep. It's our second annual casino night, Cast Hook Casino Night. It's the Baja House in Marina Village. And it's, you know, it's table games, it's food, it's music, it's drink. And it's just really a great time for people to get together. And we're raising money for Cast Hope, and all that money goes towards, you know, the program. So we buy all the kids, all their tackle, if they give us a one-year commitment in the program. So if they give us a commitment, we reward them with getting them what they need to continue to fish. So, but yeah, it's August 4th, 6 p.m. at the Baja House in Marina Village. Tickets are $100. There's also a VIP experience for $150. And we're bringing in the great author, Richard Liu, who has written some wonderful books on getting kids back into nature. So he's going to be there for a VIP experience. And, yeah, it's going to be a great night. It was a gas last year. We had a great time, and this year it's going to be better.
So, once again, the date, and how do people get tickets?
Okay, so the date, August 4th, 6 p.m. That's a Friday night. And you can go to casthope.org for tickets.
casthope.org for tickets. And that Marina House is right next to C4 Sport Fishing, so real close in the proximity.
Oh, right? It's right there. Yeah, and the Baja Room's a great room, and we're going to jazz it up. It's going to look great. I've got a great team of volunteers helping me out this year, and it's really going to be special. So, you know, let's get out there. Let's support our kids. Let's keep them engaged in nature and give and provide them a really rewarding experience, which is fishing in the outdoors.
Good for you, Conway. Giving back for sure. Casthope.org. Get tickets to this big event beginning of August there. Thanks, Conway, and good luck with the event.
Hey, all right, guys. Hey, thank you so much. And thank you. I really appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Nice to hear from you. And keep getting those, catching and releasing those big sharks. It's pretty amazing.
That's such a cool fishery. All sight fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a different experience close to home, really fun, that is an awesome trip.
If people come from all over the world to fish with Conway, for sure. Yeah. Hey, phones are packed up. They want to talk to these guys. Let's jump into
them. That sounds good to me. Let's talk to Rick calling us from Chula Vista this morning. Hey, Rick, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Yusef, I just wanted to say it's kind of been fun listening to your journey on Let's Talk Hookup over the years. And even to the point that I had to smile, I was at Yankee Stadium last week and got to see a cutwater booth there. So congratulations on all your success. My question is, with the popularity in non-alcoholic beers and even non-alcoholic spirits increasing, is that something that you've considered looking into and making non-alcoholic spirit-based canned cocktails?
We've done a few things with, you know, mixers is what we were calling them. So the non-alcoholic space to me is a little bit confusing because, you know, I'm not sure that the way that they're being marketed, you know, when you're talking about a non-alcoholic margarita or non-alcoholic, you know, tequila or something like that, it's kind of a misnomer. It really isn't tequila, you know. It's a little hard for me to wrap my head around. I think the market's growing. I mean, I see myself drinking less than I did, you know, now as I'm in my approaching my mid 50s, you know. So
especially being a patient of Dr. Granieri's.
Yeah, right.
I can relate.
Yeah, and with the doctors, you know, telling me and Pete what to do, Yeah, it's a space that's tough for me to wrap my head around. The margin there in the product is a little bit strange. The consumer's definitely there, I think it's an area that if we do explore it, it'll be, you know, a little bit of a different method than most people have been going about it. So we have kicked it around. We just haven't gone full speed into it, and I think there's just been some kind of stumbling blocks on the way. So, you know, keep a lookout. But, to be buying a, you know, $30-plus bottle of something that, you know, basically is just a mix of fruit juices doesn't really do it for me yet. And you know, I'm a big fan of making my own stuff in that regard. And you know, when you take soda water and mix it with some juice, it's, you know, it's a drink. I don't know if it's a cocktail. You know, so.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, had a great text from through. Morning, guys. Absolutely love this show. So much fun. I was hoping for a little bit of a roundtable answer with this one, and if everybody could list what their favorite fish that they caught in all their years of going down to Rancho Leonero was. And that's from Matt in San Diego.
Well, John, let's start with you.
Big marlin.
Yeah.
I've caught a couple big
How
blue
big?
Black. My biggest 697, but I farmed one that was much, much bigger than that. And that's the one I really remember, the one you liked.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was actually a release. I had my hand on the leader and all that. But I couldn't get, the fish was so big, I couldn't get the deckhand to put the gaff in him. Because he's afraid he's going to sink.
Scared.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. That's another story. But a big marlin. And the big rooster fish as well, you know. So you get some whopper rooster
fish.
Yeah,
for sure.
That are really unique.
What about
really
you, Yusuf?
Definitely my most memorable fish was the rooster fish that my wife caught on my birthday. So
that's cool.
She said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I want to see you get your butt kicked by a large fish.
Cool.
And it happened. And, you know, other than that, we also caught some wahoo, which were pretty amazing. I had the biggest Dorado of the boat's career down there and, lost it at Gap.
Oh, no.
And I'm just off of seeing it. You know, they were estimating that it's 70.
70?
That's
and,
a big Dorado.
Yeah, so that was the one that got away from me. But that rooster fish, you know, I ended up having the folks here in San Diego mount it
nice.
At, I'm blanking on the name, but
Lions
and O'Haver,
yeah.
And they did an amazing
oh,
job.
Yeah.
I actually need a repair on that. So if anybody from Lions is listening.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore,
yeah,
unfortunately.
I heard we could sneak something maybe.
Probably.
Over there. But,
yeah.
But yeah, that it's incredible fishery, and it's one that's not really tapped. You know, people are all going out for marlin and tuna and Dorado, and those roosters are just laying in wait, you know, so.
Wow. What about you, Rick?
Same rooster fish, not from me, but from my dad. We were at a Let's Talk Hookup tournament, and we fished with Santos for a day and had one of those days where all the big ones were stacked up, and we had several really big ones, but my dad caught a 70-pounder, and it was like most proud fish and mine as well being part of it. No doubt. It was just a day of really big ones fishing on a ponga with my old man and rad everything. Like I can close my eyes and picture every second of that day.
Yeah. Rooster fish for me too. You know, I caught a 35-pound rooster from the beach with Gary Barnes Webb, casting off the beach and catching that thing. So that's, rooster fish is certainly a great target and a great place for it. Wow. That was the one that Ingrid caught. That's a big
that's
one.
A real one.
Yeah.
Wow,
for
wow.
sure.
You know, something about the rooster fish that has to be mentioned is, they're not good to eat. The meat is foul. The dogs won't eat the meat. So it makes it a really easy release fish, which really helps them. There's loads of them around. The right time of year,
you
get on them. And some of these fish get caught multiple times over the course of the year.
Sure.
And as they do,
they get to be big.
Well, they fight. Yeah, these great big ones. But they figure it out, you know. Why fight? You know, they come to the boat to get released.
Yeah.
Almost
they're trained.
Of them. They're pretty trained.
And
exactly.
Santos was the guy that took us out and got injured that big one. So
that guy's a samurai.
He's a legend.
He's a samurai when it comes to those roosters.
Hey, Mark in Temecula says, as a listener since the beginning, I've always enjoyed when John Ireland is on weekly. And especially when he's in the studio. His knowledge and reports from Baja, always enjoyed his calm and resonant voice doing wonders for my anxiety. Thanks for all the years of welcoming families and fishermen to your home and enjoying whatever your next chapter may be, which is a really nice saying.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much.
For sure. All right, let's jump back on the phone.
That sounds great. Let's talk to Chris. Chris calling us all the way from Hawaii this morning. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, good morning, fishermen. Good morning, John. Hey, just waking up, having coffee. I wish I was out of my 16-foot boat, double hull, running around. We get yellowfin out here right now. But, John, I'd love to go down there. Your place looks awesome. Got some 79-pound lures from the shore whipping here. One of those roosters and a big mahi would be my bucket list one day. But I got a couple questions for you guys. Hey, so Rick, running those DTX Nomads, I was on their website. I run them with wired. They say you can run them with mono because the lip is so long. Do you guys get cut off or do you guys run them with wire?
So conventional Wahoo rigging, we always ran everything with wire. From the Marauder days and Big Jet Heads, everything was always wire, and that was like the culture of how we fished Wahoo. And with Wahoo fishing getting a little tougher over the years and a little more pressure, kind of like what we were talking about with John, we I would say it's probably a 50-50 mix of guys fishing still with wire or a heavy piece of fluorocarbon. And heavy fluorocarbon, like 150 pound, is for sure not Wahoo proof, but if you just kind of graze, maybe it helps you weather the storm a little bit. So I would say more commonly now we're starting to see that lure rigged with a heavy piece of fluoro, 130, 150, maybe even 200, something like that. Seems to be the most conventional
Tracking
rigging.
Together.
Yeah, it runs better for sure.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call from Hawaii, and good luck out there.
Hey, one more question.
Quick text here from Ralph and Menifee.
Hey, one more question.
Good morning, guys. Wow, these two brands made each other. I feel like I'm in Rancho Lanero whenever I open up a Cutwater Tiki Rum Mai Tai. My question is for Yusuf. Every drink I've tried from Cutwater is perfect. What's the process like creating and maintaining a recipe for your drinks?
So myself and Gwen Conley, we have a lab that we sit in and come up with these cocktails. And usually it's like I said, we're going after something that is a bar favorite, you know. So we start with these drinks that have a long-standing reputation. You know, we're not trying to, you know, come up with this crazy concoction. It's more like, hey, this is just a call favorite, you know. So again, we're trying to figure out a way that we can make something that's going to be consistent and stable in the can as well, and something that's delicious. So it's a matter of we start with a recipe, we release it to our staff, and we do a tasting where we have several renditions of products that we've made. The staff goes through and we take a consensus from there, and then from there it goes into these little R&D cans, which I brought you guys some of the Tiki Rum Hurricane that's coming out soon.
Oh, okay.
And that goes into our tasting room. It's got a little QR code on it, and that allows people to drink it at the tasting bar and actually report back what their findings are.
So you're actually given input when you go to the tasting
room. Right. So we get input actually from customer base. Once we get that input back, if it's a runaway hit, we start working on the artwork for the can and then go from there. So it is a full R&D process. It's, you know, it used to be that I would go in and mix something up and just, you know, we would fly with it. I know back in the days when we came out with rum and ginger and our first rendition of the Moscow Mules, the ginger was so high because I like this really aggressive ginger bite, and we gave it to 100 of our employees and only one said they would ever buy it again.
So that didn't go.
And I mean it wasn't just ginger, I was putting cayenne in there and everything.
It punched you.
Yeah, we've come a long way though. It's
for sure. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna find out who's got themselves a brand new pair of Costas. More Let's Talk Hookup when we return on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casstours.com.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Poker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time to find out if we have a big winner from the caller or texter side.
All right, flip the coin, Yusuf. It's the magic coin. Flip that coin, and we'll see who wins.
All right, we have a texter today, and congratulations, Dan and Catalina. You got yourself a $300 gift certificate to CostaDelMar.com.
All right, congratulations, Dan. And Yusuf, great stuff. Cutwater is such a great product. And your story goes on, and we just don't have enough time to always. I didn't even get into the ballast point stuff and all the fish on the labels and stuff like that. All that. I was so. Will you come back?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for coming. And of course, you can get Cutwater.
50 states. All 50 states now.
Yeah. All 50 states. Yep. Wow. Very good. Well, thanks. Appreciate you coming in. And John, last chance to get down to Rancho Leonero, right?
It sure is, Pedro. Yeah. December 1st.
Yeah. So make your reservations. How do we do that?
800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com. Give Pam a call. She'll take care of you.
Pam will take care of you. Get you set up with your favorite room, your favorite boat.
Fishing's good. It's been a great group of people coming in. You know, it's our last year, and we've been – it's just – really, really nice how many people have come and all the compliments and
all good stuff.
It's a good time to come down. A real positive, a lot of nice people.
Yeah, thanks.
All our old hands.
Thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board back there. And, of course, thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. We will be back. Well, I'll be at Katmai Lodge. And but Rick and Corey will be back next Saturday with Mike Shane from Huff Sea World Research Institute. That's going to be great. And then next Sunday, Corey and Rick, Captain Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk and Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing will be here. That'll be a couple of great shows. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to all of you out there. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.